All right, it is 19 minutes past 7 o'clock. My name is Susie Jones, along with Charlie Weiss, and I am going to start out by coming clean with you, the listener, with Charlie, with Al Schock. Hopefully nobody else is listening in management. I did not set my clock ahead. Charlie, I knew this was coming.
I knew, did too.
I did too.
Yeah.
Did you set your clock proper?
I use my phone, so it's automatic. I meant to text you last night. I did forget. I did that last time. That's the producer's job, right?
To wake up their host.
Yeah.
So please accept my apology for not being more mindful of the change in the time, even though as a news person I have known this for days. So we're going to jump right in. Thanks for being with us. We'll have time for your text throughout the hour as well at 651-461-9226. So happy to have you with us on this Sunday morning. We have Hennepin Healthcare Dr. Behnam Sabanyan. He is with Hennepin Healthcare, and we're going to talk about strokes this morning. Doctor, thanks for coming on this morning.
Hi, good morning. Happy Sunday.
Yes, did you hear my story that I didn't set my clock correctly?
Yeah.
It also shows my age, you know, that I have a clock, not my phone, that wakes me up. Anyway, we are here, and we're so grateful to have you with us. We talked a little bit about some of the things we wanted to talk to you about in terms of strokes. And first of all, just let's sort of talk about what is a stroke? What happens when your body experiences a stroke? Let's start there, and then we'll open it up to questions as well.
Absolutely. So when we are talking about a stroke, we are talking about two major types of a stroke. The first type is the one that there is a blockage in vessels in the brain, and that blockage will lead to lack of oxygen and nutrients to the brain tissue, and then the brain tissue will get damaged. The second type is the one that they call it a hemorrhagic or bleeding type of a stroke. That's where the when the blood vessel rupture, and there's a leakage of the blood in the brain tissue, and because blood has chemical properties, will lead to inflammation within the brain tissue and would lead to damage to the function of the brain.
And in terms of knowing, what is it always a surprise when someone has a stroke, or are there indications like a family history that they may have a stroke, or is it always a surprise?
That's a great question. So there are definitely certain high-risk groups for those who develop a stroke. But certainly the whole population with more prevalence of what we call it cardiovascular risk factors is at risk. Certain genetic conditions like sickle cell disease or some genetic condition that would affect the cholesterol level, et cetera, would definitely put a patient at risk of developing a stroke. But we all need to be aware of the signs and symptoms of a stroke. It can happen to everyone, even younger age, that we can talk about a little bit further. And that's why we need to be aware of the signs and symptoms, because the management of a stroke and reducing the adverse outcomes is really time dependent. So if you are fully aware of the symptoms for a stroke, we should be able to take care of patients very quickly, and that would lead to much better outcomes down the road.
So you're talking about if you are having a symptom of a stroke, the quicker you get help, the better your chances are of preventing long-term permanent changes to your body, like the face or not speaking. What are some of the symptoms of having a stroke, and then what are those things that happen to your body after you've had a stroke?
Great question. We have actually an acronym that we use when we are educating our patients, but also their families. One of those acronyms is BFAST. And BFAST stands for balance. If you have a sudden onset change in your balance and gait, eyes is the E. If there's a sudden change in your vision, F is standing for face, sudden facial droop. A would be for arms, weakness in arms, and speech, And when you have these symptoms, is the fast time to call 911 and seek medical attention. So you would have these symptoms, which you need to kind of come to the medical center equipped with experts in the field, neurologists. And then hopefully when you are in time, good treatments are started, diagnostic tests are started, and then sometimes really recovery is 100% if you are really in time. But sometimes there are some residual symptoms, like there might be some weakness or change with your sensation or facial droop or balance. But with advancements that we have had over the last decade, I think we are very good and very well equipped to take care of our patients. Again, time is really important. Look at Hennepin Healthcare, we're really trying to make sure that we would do early diagnosis, and we are working on new tools such as ultrasounds of the brain to make sure that blood flow goes to the brain properly and there are no particles of blood clot going to the brain. Yeah, so early treatment and diagnosis are the key, yeah.
Okay, and I want to get back to the new technology that you were talking about, but I want to remind people listening that if they have a question for you, they can text 651-461-9226, and already we have a question. Good morning, doctor. Can you please explain what a TIA is and what the symptoms are for that? Thank you. What is a TIA?
Excellent question. TIA stands for transient ischemic attack. And in simple terms, it means a mini stroke. Sometimes there are some particles of blood clot that travels to the brain, transiently blocks the blood flow to the brain tissue, and then we would experience symptoms. But somehow that blood clot gets resolved, or brain is a kind of smart organ and tries to kind of bypass that clot with more vessels, and then the symptoms will resolve. TIA is extremely important because this is a really wake-up call. That means that this person is at definitely higher risk of having major stroke in future. And then once you have TIA, once you are being diagnosed with TIA, that means that we need to start a series of diagnostic tests to make sure that what was the origin for that transient blockage, and to start treatments that would prevent major stroke, major blockage in blood vessels in the future. We really take TIA very serious, and that's why tools that we have, including CT scan, MRI, and transcranial Doppler, which is basically using an ultrasound waves to check the blood flow and those small clots that travel to the brain, will be very important for early diagnosis.
651-461-9226. We are talking, and I'm sure I'm saying your name wrong, doctor, but I'll do my very best. It's Behnam Sabanyan.
Correct. Behnam Sabanyan. Yeah. Second time is even better than the first time.
Perfect. Oh, good, good. Well, we're happy to have you with us, and you'll be with us for the next half an hour here on WCCO Radio. And we just want to remind people that we're talking about strokes, the symptoms of having a stroke, the perhaps prevention of getting a stroke, and the technology that's being done at Hennepin Healthcare to examine and investigate all the aspects of a stroke. So if you have a question, maybe you have a loved one who has had a stroke, maybe you have had a stroke yourself and are recovering and want to talk about it, we invite you to be a part of the program. 651-461-9226. We're back after this quick break. All right, we are back. The second half. What's that?
Just needed to wait for the.
I know, I'm waiting. Yeah. I'll wait.
No.
You want me to go?
You were waiting longer than I thought you were going.
That's what I was waiting for. This.
No.
If I was a music jock like Steve Simpson, I would have talked it up to the ramp. You know, the ramp, isn't that what they call it?
Yeah, sure. I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know.
We completely digress on this Sunday morning where it is daylight saving time. And yours truly completely missed the boat and came in a little bit late. So we're back on track, and we have with us Dr. Behnam Sabanian, who is with Hennepin Healthcare, and we are talking about strokes because a lot of people in the United States of America suffer from strokes. Is it a pretty big number?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. We are estimating that about 400,000 people experience symptoms of a stroke a year. Just in 2020 in Minnesota, there were about 12,000 hospital admissions related to stroke. Stroke burden is really high in terms of the numbers, but also the consequences for disability and mortality is also very high.
If you have one stroke, are you likely to have more strokes?
Yes, that's a great question. Basically, about 25% of stroke-related hospital admissions are related to recurrent stroke. So that's why once a patient is having a stroke, we really carefully try to understand what was the reason for a stroke and really apply diagnostic tests and treatment approaches to prevent future stroke. Yes.
Okay. Our text line is 651-461-9226. And at the same time, we'll get a question, but I do want to talk a little bit more this half hour about the Comprehensive Stroke Center at Hennepin Healthcare and this cerebral vascular ultrasound system for patient care. So we'll get to that after we answer this question from a texter. The texter writes, I have atrial fibrillation. Please discuss the connection with the possibility of having a stroke. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Atrial fibrillation, or AFib, is a condition that a patient would have irregular heart rhythm. And that irregular heart rhythm would lead to formation of the blood clot at the level of the heart. And that clot, then it fits in the heart because heart is pumping all the time, can travel to the brain and lead to blockage of the vessels. So atrial fibrillation, or AFib, is a significant, important risk factor for developing a stroke. That's why if you have atrial fibrillation and you are eligible, you need to take blood thinners, because blood thinners would help you to prevent a stroke.
I just wondered about the blood thinner because I always think of Coumadin, but are there others as well that are equally as effective?
Yes. So Coumadin or warfarin is a prior generation of blood thinners that has been very effective. But Coumadin comes with some practical difficulties. One is that the bleeding risk is a concern, but also patients need to check a blood test, which we call it INR, to make sure that blood thinning is a certain range. So we have a new generation or newer generations of blood thinners that there's no need for this repeated checking of the blood thinning. And those medications are very safe too. So they would also have a lower risk of bleeding in your GI or even your brain. So we have now a wide range of medication for blood thinning.
651-461-9226 if you have a question for the doctor. This texter writes, are there things that one can do to minimize the risk of future stroke? I had a mild stroke in July. Now, you're mentioning the medication. Are there other things in addition to blood thinning medications to help reduce a future stroke?
Absolutely. We know that healthy lifestyle, including diet, exercise, proper sleep, making sure that you're taking your medication, they all contribute to lowering the risk of future stroke. Again, once a person has one stroke, is at risk for having another stroke, and we need to take all the measures possible to make sure that those risk factors are under control to prevent future stroke.
And doctor, we're talking about daylight saving time today and me being late. Is there a connection? Do you see an uptick in the number of strokes post daylight saving time change, the time change?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And the community of neurologists actually have repeatedly mentioned that we are seeing a number of medical conditions associated with these time changes. One of them is more confusion and disorientation for patients who have cognitive impairment or dementia. This is, although this is just like 1 hour, but still it can really affect those individuals. But also we are seeing some uptick in what we call it vascular events, like a heart attack or a stroke. So the numbers are not as big as changes with the orientation related to dementia. But yes, so these are significant factors for change in blood clot formation, et cetera. Still, we are learning, though, what could be the exact cause. But one thing which is very important is that quality of the sleep is really a key factor for brain health. That means that our cognitive function, our brain vascular function, all of these are really dependent on a proper sleep hygiene. And change, sudden changes like this might not be good for the brain and might not be good for the vessels in the brain.
And along those lines, how do you know what good sleep is and what is the amount of time that is good, considered to be a good sleep?
There are different studies tested what is the optimal number of the hours for sleep. And of course, every individual is different than another individual. But one thing which is very certain is that too little or too much sleep are associated with adverse brain outcomes and brain health. The best sleep is the one that would give energy to a person, and you would feel like that you've gone through all the steps of the sleep, because you know sleep has different phases, and interruption of those phases would not be healthy. There are different tests and modalities that they can use to see if those phases are completed, and that will be the best structure of the sleep.
Okay.
When once a person would go to all those phases, including REM sleep that you might have heard about.
Very good. 651-461-9226. It is 7:41. We'll take another text question. What about taking low dose aspirin to help prevent stroke? What is your response to that?
So previously, we were recommending low-dose aspirin, or we call it sometimes baby aspirin, for those who have some risk factors, like high blood pressure or diabetes, but they did not have a stroke or heart attack. But there has been actually great studies, actually was led by researchers at Hennepin Health Research Institute here, and a big study named ASPRI, that showed that especially in older individuals, that empiric treatment or starting of aspirin without having a prior history of a stroke or heart attack is associated with more risk of bleeding rather than benefit. But for those who had a stroke or had mini stroke or TIA, transient ischemic attack, absolutely aspirin, even as low dose as baby aspirin, are effective and very helpful for preventing a stroke.
Okay, very good. Thanks for that great answer. Another texter writes, I have had many small strokes which were diagnosed as being caused by a hole in the heart. A PFO procedure ended the strokes. Please explain why this cured a stroke. Can you do that?
Yes, absolutely. So about 20 to 25% of population, they have a very small hole in their heart, which is connecting the right side of the heart, the left side of the heart. Why is this important? Because basically, if there is a connection between the right side of the heart and left side of the heart beyond the physiologic connection, that means that if there's a blood clot coming from the legs or in the belly and travels to the right side of the brain, can travel immediately to the left side of the, to the right side of the heart, can immediately travel to the left side of the heart, and from there can directly go to the brain. That's what we call it. The term is paradoxical emboli. I know it's a really big word, but basically that means that clot has found its way to travel from the legs to the right side of the heart and then travel to the left side of the heart and then goes to the brain, causing blood clot formation. But pathway of a stroke happens more often in young individuals. And once we found that there is this hole, we try to understand if there's a blood clot sitting somewhere else in the body. And one of the very great tools to have is that ultrasound technique that Hennepin Healthcare System is establishing. And that technique would, just using the ultrasound waves and sounds with a non-invasive probe that it would put in the brain, we would see that if there are particles of blood clot traveling to the brain, and we would check whether there is this movement of blood from the right side of the heart to the left side of the heart. And this is really a cool, easy to use study that would have major implications for reducing risk of a stroke in those people who have that hole in their heart.
Yeah, let's take a quick break, doctor, and then when we come back, we can talk a little bit more about this new ultrasound and technology that I see, too, is at your bedside, so you don't have to go anywhere and go through a big tube. It comes right to your bed. So we'll look into that and take more of your questions as well at 651-461-9226. It is 7:45. And we're back. It is 7:49 on a Sunday morning. Dr. Behem Sabanya is with us, Hennepin Healthcare, and we're talking about strokes and a new technology that's being used at Hennepin Healthcare, a new investment in this technology. And, doctor, talk about a little bit more about this ultrasound and the capabilities and how it's easier for you to help a patient because they're not having to be brought somewhere. The device is coming to them. What does it do? And talk about it, please.
Ultrasound waves are used for various reasons in medicine to understand changes in the structure or function of an organ. Actually, ultrasound has been used frequently in evaluation of patients who had a stroke in the past. But with the new advancements, like having a CT scan or MRI, at some point the focus has been changed just to kind of obtain those images. When a patient comes to the emergency room with symptoms concerning for a stroke, a patient would undergo CT scan and later on maybe MRI. These tests are fantastic and they are very helpful. But there is a need for complementing those tests with tests that in a live manner, they will look at the blood flow to the brain, and in a live manner, they will check whether there is any ongoing blood clot formation and traveling to the brain. And that's what the Hennepin Healthcare and Hennepin Health is investing in a line of care, which is with transcranial Doppler. That in addition to the CT scan and MRI, we are using ultrasound techniques to understand what is the cause for a stroke and whether there's ongoing risk for a stroke, and also whether there is a response to our treatments. For example, when we apply blood thinning treatments, we want to make sure that those blood clots are stopped being formed or traveling to the brain. This is a test that we apply in the hospital. But patient doesn't have to go under a scanner or MRI. We would do that at bedside, and we look at the brain vessels and the blood flow at bedside, non-invasive, with extremely helpful information for a neurologist to recommend specific treatments. At Hennepin Healthcare, we have the privilege to take care of most diverse group of patients, and that would necessitate to have a very comprehensive care and comprehensive view to the stroke causes, and that would be a great tool for us to make sure that we are not missing any specific reason for a stroke.
I was going to ask, you mentioned diverse patients. Do people of color have more strokes? I mean, are there studies that show, for example, maybe African-American patients have more strokes than Caucasians?
Yes. So stroke is a very significant medical condition, and there is a good evidence showing that minorities, including African-American population and Hispanic population, they more frequently develop a stroke, and once they develop a stroke, they experience more severe outcomes. And what would be the reason for that? Multiple reasons. One is in disparity in risk factors. For example, we know that high blood pressure, diabetes might be more prevalent in those populations, and that's why it's very important to have campaigns to make sure that those risk factors are under control and everyone has access to health to be able to control those risk factors. The other reason for these severe outcomes is that, unfortunately, sometimes we see delays in early diagnosis of a stroke in this population. Whether the reason is that the patient came to the hospital late, or whether there is a communication barriers, or whether there is not enough facility to take care of these patients. These are all factors that might play a role. And at Hennepin Healthcare, we are proud to provide comprehensive care for patients with all backgrounds and ethnicities and socioeconomic status.
Well, we really appreciate your coming on, and we want to let our listeners know at this time, we don't have time for any more questions this Sunday morning, but we would love to have you back on, as there are many questions about different procedures, the Watchman procedure. People are asking about a number of other things, and then we just don't have time for them. But certainly, if you would come on again, that would be great, and we can get to more of the questions. I wanted to make sure that in this hour that we had a chance to talk about the new ultrasound treatment at Hennepin Health. But thank you so much for your time. You were very helpful, and we'll have you on again.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. Bye. Dr. Behram Sabanyan, Hennepin Healthcare, with us on News Talk 830 WCCO. Thanks to all the texters, and your money coming up next. And we're back. It is 7:49 on a Sunday morning. Dr. Behram Sabanyan is with us, Hennepin Healthcare, and we're talking about strokes and a new technology that's being used at Hennepin Healthcare, a new investment in this technology. And Doctor, talk about a little bit more about this ultrasound and the capabilities and how it's easier for you to help a patient because they're not having to be brought somewhere. The device is coming to them. What does it do? And talk about it, please.
Ultrasound waves are used for various reasons in medicine to understand changes in the structure or function of an organ. Actually, ultrasound has been used frequently in evaluation of patients who had stroke in the past, but with the new advancements like having a CT scan or MRI, at some point the focus has been changed just to kind of obtain those images. When a patient comes to the emergency room with symptoms concerning for a stroke, a patient would undergo CT scan and later on maybe MRI. These tests are fantastic and they are very helpful. But there is a need for complementing those tests with tests that in a live manner, they will look at the blood flow to the brain, and in a live manner, they will check whether there is any ongoing blood clot formation and traveling to the brain. And that's what the Hennepin Healthcare and Hennepin Health is investing in a line of care, which is with transcranial Doppler, that in addition to the CT scan and MRI, we are using ultrasound techniques to understand what is the cause for a stroke and whether there's ongoing risk for a stroke, and also whether there is a response to our treatments. For example, when we apply blood thinning treatments, we want to make sure that those blood clots are stopped being formed or traveling to the brain. This is a test that we apply in the hospital, but patient doesn't have to go under a scanner or MRI. We would do that at bedside, and we look at the brain vessels and the blood flow at bedside, non-invasive, with extremely helpful information for neurologists to recommend specific treatments. At Hennepin Healthcare, we have the privilege to take a most diverse group of patients, and that would necessitate to have a very comprehensive care and comprehensive view to the stroke causes, and that will be great, a great tool for us to make sure that we are not missing any specific reason for a stroke.
I was going to ask, you mentioned diverse patients. Do people of color have more strokes? I mean, are there studies that show, for example, maybe African-American patients have more strokes than Caucasians?
Yes. So stroke is a very significant medical condition, and there is a good evidence showing that minorities, including African-American population and Hispanic population, they more frequently develop a stroke, and once they develop a stroke, they experience more severe outcomes. And what will be the reason for that? Multiple reasons. One is in disparity in risk factors. For example, we know that high blood pressure, diabetes might be more prevalent in those populations, and that's why it's very important to have campaigns to make sure that those risk factors are under control and everyone has access to health to be able to control those risk factors. The other reason for these severe outcomes is that, unfortunately, sometimes we see delays in early diagnosis of a stroke in this population. Whether the reason is that the patient came to the hospital late, or whether there is a communication barriers, or whether there is not enough facility to take care of these patients. These are all factors that might play a role. And at Hennepin Healthcare, we are proud to provide comprehensive care for patients with all backgrounds and ethnicities and socioeconomic status.
Well, we really appreciate your coming on, and we want to let our listeners know at this time, we don't have time for any more questions this Sunday morning, but we would love to have you back on, as there are many questions about different procedures, the Watchman procedure. People are asking about a number of other things, and then we just don't have time for them, but certainly, if you would come on again, that would be great, and we can get to more of the questions. I wanted to make sure that in this hour that we had a chance to talk about the new ultrasound treatment at Hennepin Health. But thank you so much for your time. You were very helpful, and we'll have you on again.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. Bye. Dr. Behram Sabanyan, Hennepin Healthcare, with us on News Talk 830 WCCO. Thanks to all the texters, and your money coming up next.